Welcome to the Matt Haycock Show, a podcast about business, money, and life. Matt has been making money and making mistakes for over 20 years. And in this podcast, he shares his thoughts and stories so you can improve your business, finances, and life, whilst hopefully avoiding the mistakes he and others have made along the way. Listen in and level up.
There is no quicker way to grow than the right collaborations and the right partnerships, you know, unless you're going to stick a huge advertising budget behind something. But, you know, to be honest, we're getting into semantics because influencer marketing is advertising anyway. Hey guys, it's Matt Haycox here. And today you get to sit in while I'm in the hot seat being interviewed by Chris Taylor and Jack Wicks for their brand new podcast. So I don't know what they're going to ask me. I'm going to be under pressure and hopefully fight my way through. But if you haven't seen it before, I've already done a podcast with these guys, so make sure you check that out. And hopefully this is going to be a follow-up to that. We'll probably dig deep on some of the subjects. I'm sure they're going to quiz me about life in the Ibiza Villa as well.
Definitely. Welcome to a new episode of the Brand New Podcast. My name is Chris Taylor. I'm here with my co-host, Jack Wicks.
Hello.
And today, we are interviewing the amazing Matt Haycox in a very different scenery to what we did our first one in. I'm no longer behind laptops, locked in quarantine, but we are in a gorgeous Ibiza Villa, which Matt has kindly invited us out to. So Matt, welcome to the brand new podcast again.
Thanks for having me again. They are actually so much better. I don't know how many you've done like this, but before lockdown, I used to do all of my podcasts face-to-face. When we started to do the Zoom ones during lockdown, because, you know, we had no choice and we'd have run out of content. I mean, I liked it for the fact that A, it kept us going. I mean, B, it got us to be able to do, let's say, more quicker. And C, we probably got to interview people that we may not have done otherwise, because, you know, the further afield, and, you know, you obviously can't justify, you know, jumping on the plane to America or Australia or wherever we'd had some guests from. But now, you know, lockdown's easing and we're starting to do some face-to-face stuff again. You know, there really isn't anything like the rapport and the being able to, you know, look into the whites of the eyes, even though I'm wearing sunglasses. But it's much better to do them like this. It's very enjoyable.
We've not had the chance to do one yet, actually, in person. We decided to launch it. I think it was literally the week into lockdown, wasn't it? And we just thought, you know what, let's just give it a go. We had all these people that suddenly we weren't able to get their time before because of like diaries and meeting up. We couldn't align it. However, when everyone had nothing to do, we found it so much easier to lock down appointments with people. So the Zoom thing, although we lost like the ability to get the selfie, tag it in onto Instagram, get the added traffic that way, we got a lot via the a lot more done in a lot shorter period because people just so much more willing to commit their time to it. But you're right, like doing it if I could do it in an Ibiza Villa every single time, I would have an issue, to be fair. I'd love it here.
But it's pros and cons, isn't there? I think, like you just said, with being able to reach people around the world and the time scale thing, makes it all the better. But yeah, we were speaking about it earlier, actually. There will never be replacing physical meeting and, you know, the connection you build with someone in person.
100%.
And so, yeah, we're really looking forward to doing more in person, but
yeah, no, it's
and I guess that's probably a nice segue into, you know, talking about the fact that we're here in the villa as well, in that, you know, I mean, there's in person and there's in person, and, you know, I guess getting to build a 1 hour face-to-face relationship with someone is infinitely better than doing 1 hour on Zoom, but then say doing 3, 4, 5 days, you know, in the villa on holiday, you know, whatever that may be, you know, takes the relationships one step further. Yeah, even with you, Jack.
I think it moves on. It blends in really, really nicely to kind of what we wanted to talk about, especially with what you've been able to do. Like, I've always called you like Mr. Network and Mr. Collaborator. You're like incredible at doing it. It's kind of what your whole business was built on the back of, which was relationships, right? What was the main reason for doing this sort of thing? Well, I know obviously the villa.
Well, I guess the specifics of Ibiza is because we haven't been here before, and it's a great new change of scenery and a place to explore. But the general concept of why I've done this, you know, really is very much the same as why I do other retreats like this, so, you know, retreats, summits, masterminds, you know, whatever you want to call them. You know, in essence, you know, two or three times a year, I'll take a week or 2 weeks, you know, in a fantastic setting, you know, normally abroad. So, I mean, I've done summer ones before. I also do a winter one up in the ski mountains, you know, normally in France. And it's just really a chance for me to get together with people I am doing business with, people I want to do business with, you know, investors, prospective investors, even mates who I haven't seen in a long time. Although, to be honest, anyone who normally ends up, you know, on a retreat with me, you know, normally ends up as a mate in some way, shape or form anyway. But, I mean, like you said a minute ago, you know, all my business has very much been based around, benefiting from relationships that I've built. And I think, you know, every success I've had has come from a relationship in some way, shape or form, you know, whether that's bringing on a new investor or whether it's, you know, it's creating a partnership or a collaboration with someone. And doing it in this kind of environment just allows you to accelerate the relationship. I guess, taking an analogy, you know, it's like a holiday romance, insofar as, you know, when you go away, and you meet that girl, and you know you've only got 5 days, you know, 5 days till you fly back to England. Everything's just a lot more intense and intimate and deep and accelerated. And I guess it's the same in platonic and business sense. While you're out here or wherever we are, you know, I guess taking it back to its simpler forms. You know, why do people take someone out for dinner? You know, rather than having a meet in an office, you know, you're always going to get a better relationship over dinner or playing a round of golf. And this is really just that on steroids. And it's, you know, it's just something that's been a big part of my, networking and relationship building has always been a massive part of my life. You know, I'd probably say I spend 70% of my working life, you know, in some networking capacity. You know, I'm sure many others would look at it and say not working, but you know, whether it's you know, being on a beach or being in a restaurant or you know, I guess mixing that business and social circumstance, you know, to get the absolute max out of the relationship, because when you have great relationships, you know, ultimately you will always get what you want out of it, you know, whether that's I think it's important for people to look at it in the bigger picture. This isn't about getting someone to sell you something for 900 quid, not for 1,000 quid. You know, this is very much the growth and the upsell. You know, not like, oh, he's my mate, so he'll give me a couple of percent off wholesale price. You know, this is about being able to have relationships with people to, you know, to really take your business to the next level.
Yeah, no, I think it's so important to do. And the reason I wanted to talk about it mainly today, because I don't think it's spoken about enough very much anymore in terms of like the power of actually doing it. Like I look back and I think of all like the training that I did. I look back at all the people that I've met. I look back at all the mistakes that I've made.
But ultimately, what's got me to where I've got to in a very, very short, quicker time is it's just the people I've been around with and coming to places like this. I know we said it was a total no-brainer when we saw one that you were here to build our relationship further because our podcast went down so well. We've obviously known each other for a little while now. But I just don't think in terms of like a brand building perspective that people focus on it enough. They see networking as this thing as like, oh, I've got to go to another networking event. Oh, I've got to go to this. I've got to go to that. But actually, when you start to see the momentum that's built and what you can gain from it, it's just an incredible result generating business technique to go into.
Well, I think people probably also look at it like that as well, because they're probably anticipating networking with people that they actually probably shouldn't be wasting their time networking with. You know, I mean, I'd be lying if sometimes, as you know, I don't want to go off to my own room for a couple of hours here and there, because, you know, when you're with 10 or 12 people all day long, you know, I'm a sociable person, but I do like a bit of privacy now and again. But ultimately, you know, we're networking here with people who we are genuinely mates with and want to build long-term, you know, potentially a lifelong, you know, friendship and business relationships with. So, you know, when you look at it like that, why would anyone want to say that, you know, they are dreading putting themselves in that situation? Listen, I'm dreading I'd be dreading going to a networking event if it was another BNI breakfast where I've got to, you know, give the local plumber, a neighbour who wants his toilet fixing. You know, I mean, and I say that, you know, I say that in jest, and also not, you know, not to be derogatory to people who are going to those networking situations. But I think, you know, for me, two common networking mistakes people make are, one, networking in the wrong environments. And secondly, networking with the same people time and time and time again. You know, I've got this villa for 2 weeks, and as lovely as it would have been for me to have you for the whole 2 weeks, you know, to a degree, there is nothing we can't achieve in 3 days that we would have achieved in five, or five that we wouldn't achieve in seven. So for me, you know, over these 2 weeks, I'll have 15 to 20 different people coming here, because, you know, I want to change out the people that I'm networking with to build the relationships with multiple people. Again, I'll see time and time again, cliques of, cliques of business colleagues who always go to the drinks together, who always go to dinners together. It's always the same people on the golf course or reciprocal.
Comfortable, isn't it? That's why. Yeah.
And that relationship, okay, you might have a great relationship with that person, but it can't get any better because it can't get any better. You know, you're already giving each other enough work. And, you know, like we said, we're doing this for growth purposes, you know, for business building purposes. You know, I could have the same people here for a month. Ultimately, the relationship's going to be no better by week four than it was on week two. And, I think they're two ways that people just don't look at networking properly for me.
Yeah, we, found it being a property investor and going to the property, it's just like you said, it's just every single time people were going there just so they could say hello to their mate, and then it's obviously, it always feels a little bit forced to me. So what would your advice be in terms of people trying to find the right place to network? Is it going to the flying club, or, you know, is it expensive places? Obviously, I suppose it depends on who you're looking for.
I would personally get even more specific about it. I mean, if I do networking, it's with two, let's say, separate hats on. One is a bit broader, and the other is very focused. But when I say a bit broader, I'm not talking willy-nilly. I mean, look, okay, if we take this to its extreme, depending on where you are in life and business, and depending on what your product is, you may be able to benefit from being dumped into a room with 1,000 people in it and starting to make connections with those different people. And you know what? Look, if you're shy and you're not very good at icebreaking, you've not done networking before, maybe you do need to do a bit of that. But I'm talking here about power networking, about networking with the people, you know, with the right people who are going to take your business to the next level. Now, you know, for anybody listening to this, or for anybody watching this, you need you'll know who those people are for you. I don't know what your business is, you know, so I can't tell you. But in my world, most of the people I'm looking to build relationships with are high net worth investors. So, I guess on a very specific level, I would identify individual people that I want to make a relationship with, and then outreach to them to start making that relationship. Now, you know what? I might not be able to invite them to the Ibiza Villa on day one when they've not met me. You know, having not met me, you know, they may think I'm a bit of a stalker or a psycho. But you know, all jokes aside, a lot of the time, when I want to, the kind of people I want to meet are already going to be very successful people who have their own money and can write their own diary. So for me to get in front of them, it actually is going to take something special to do that, because they don't give a shit. They don't know me, so they don't give a shit about me. I mean, okay, like, you know, it's probably a conversation for another podcast, but I guess, you know, we talk about doing podcasts and building our personal brand so they will know who I am. But even so, you know, that they don't know who I am enough for me to want to get in front of them. So if I just outreach to them, the chances of them wanting to pick up the phone or pick up the message is slim. I need to offer them something. And again, to invite them out for lunch, you know, is not something that is probably going to excite them. You know, I need to be, you know, offering them something that ultimately is probably going to cost me a substantial amount of money, but I don't mind, you know, because it is an investment in that. I mean, I'm doing business with a guy now where I probably spent 12 to 18 months, you know, courting him, you know, and that courtship probably cost me 25 grand. But yeah, and if we'd have never done a deal, it would have looked like a few very expensive bottles of wine and trips out. But I look at that now, and that 25 grand is absolute pocket change, you know, compared to what I've done. And again, I know everyone listening to this is going to have their own budgets. But it's probably also relative to the stages you're at. So you need to be realistic. You know, if you're a newbie in business, and you know, you're looking to meet certain people, you're probably not looking to meet the same people that I'm meeting. So you don't need to be thinking, oh my God, this is totally unrealistic. Matt's talking about spending 25 grand on wine with these people. But you're probably not at the stage to need to meet those people anyway. But I think you're very important to focus on the people you want to meet. Then very important to invest in those relationships. And then when I talk about a broader level of networking, that would be, let's say, I don't specifically know who the individual high net worths are that I want to meet, but I want to put myself in surroundings whereby I'm going to meet people who are, you know, are successful or are wealthy or do have the ability to, you know, to change my life or impact on me or excite me in some way, shape or form. So that would be, I guess, for me, the equivalent of staying in a 5-star hotel, not a 3-star hotel, because I know that if I'm drinking in that bar or hanging out in that lobby, you know, I'm going to meet those kind of people. Or it may be, you know, making sure that some of the high net worths that I already deal with invite me to other events where I'm going to meet some of their friends. You know, that would be more general networking to me. And then I'd pick those right targets, niche down on them, and then build those relationships.
Yeah, I think it's quite, you touched on it just a second about the podcast thing. It's the thing that we've been looking at for quite a while in terms of how do we continue to grow. So we're on every platform, like we're on Instagram, Facebook. We've got the YouTube channel that's up and going now. We've got all these different platforms, and podcasts actually has been the one that I've seen the most growth from recently. Now, what is, with online networking, it's obviously a completely different concept altogether, right? It's not something that I think a lot of people focused on around about maybe about a year ago. I think I certainly didn't do it enough. What's your take on online social networking versus this in general?
I mean, I just don't think you just can't compare this to anything. You know, I mean, the level of relationship you're gonna make with this is just incomparable to anything else. I mean, I would certainly be an advocate of social networking for, you know, for outreach and for positioning of yourself. But again, I think you need to be realistic to it. I mean, look. Gary Vee talked a lot about the fact that, you know, all the young guys who want to meet an influencer to do a collab with or want to meet the person that's going to change their life, you know, that they've got, you know, they're doing nothing at the moment. So they've got 10 or 12 hours today to sit there sending out countless DM after DM after DM. And that all it takes is one person to change their life. And look, I get that. And if that's a stage of business that you're at, or the stage of life that you're at, then you do need to be doing that. I think as you get more experience in life, more successful, you know, it's about making effective the best use of your time, isn't it? And you know, for me personally, it's not an effective use of my time to blanket DM people for 40 hours a week.
It's totally like an economies of scale thing, isn't it? I mean, I look at it just from a prime example of this trip, right? So Josh Ritchie's been out here, and a couple of tags in the story is giving me an extra 200 followers. Now, whether that is directly from that one specific post, I don't really know. However, like, I look at this to grow, and I know we agree on this sort of concept in terms of not really the influencer stage, but just people who are well known, right? And when you're surrounded by them, being seen surrounded by them is automatically going to grow your brand. Now, your YouTube channel is growing and growing and growing due to the information that you're giving and the people you're then having those conversations with. Well, what's your take on that whole movement that's going on around about that, leveraging traffic from other people?
Well, I mean, there is no quicker way to grow than the right collaborations and the right partnerships, you know, unless you're going to stick a huge advertising budget behind something. But, you know, to be honest, we're getting into semantics because influencer marketing is advertising anyway. I mean, yeah, you know, we talk about the growth of my YouTube channel, and you know, as much as I would like to think it's down to my pretty face and the content I put out there, the reality is my biggest splurges of growth have been from specific videos I've done with well-known influencers or celebrities. And look, yeah, I guess it works both ways in that the influencers will create me the platform, and then hopefully it's my content that makes them stay. So you do need to have solid underlying content that your audience wants to listen to. But yeah, I mean, if you want to grow quickly, you need to be putting resource behind this. Now, I use the word resource, not money, because that could be time. I mean, again, for me personally, I've always been fortunate that I guess I came to the podcast world and the content creation world when I was already doing well in business. So I've been able to chuck money at it. And if I've worked with some influencers I work with for free, some influencers I work with because they've been paid. And then I guess as another conversation, it's down to me to make the best use of that payment. If I build a rapport with that person and then ultimately become mates or leverage that relationship to further things, then happy days. But just in isolation, I've had to invest both time and money into these relationships to get the guests on, to get the growth. Otherwise, I'd be probably probably have 90% of the reach I've got now, and I still only have 0.1% of the reach I ultimately want to get to. So
it almost becomes a community, doesn't it, of those people that you've interviewed, and they're like, "Oh, I've been on Matt's podcast. You should go on it," to their friends and people. You can almost reach out to that person at the top. There's a few people in between that can kind of give you, like with ours, sort of pushing you through. Someone else going, "Oh, I've been on that podcast and it was great." To get to that eventual person, kind of stepping stones almost of people. And yeah, it's just everybody talks, don't they? So.
100%. It's the same principles that you would use in sales and networking in general, if you've had a guest on, you would ask them if they've got any other guests that they could recommend you. In the same way, if you've sold a product to a satisfied client, you'd be asking them if they've got any other people they can recommend to come and buy from you. And I guess ultimately it's how we talk about people's content, that there's no major new ideas out there. It's just the framing of it and whether or not you like the delivery from the people. Do you like that aggressive American delivery of someone like Grant Cardone? Do you like a cuddly brummy like Matt Elwell? but ultimately, they're delivering very similar content, and the principles we talk about now are the same principles that people have been using long before social media ever existed. It's just about tweaking them and reformatting them to use online. I mean, I tell you, we are one of the guys. I mean, I said to you a minute ago that it's not an effective use of my time, blanket DMing people, which I'll still stand by. But that said, one of the guys who's arriving tonight here in Ibiza is probably my main business partner at the moment, who I've done multiple seven figures of business with over the last 4 years, and we actually met on LinkedIn. But that was targeted. That wasn't just blanket followers. I knew I wanted people from that space, so I used the social media platform to identify X number of people in that space, and then I targeted them each individually. Sent the outreach message. Ultimately, got the response. Had the drink, had the dinner, and then knew that was a relationship worth investing in. But ultimately, it's not just about taking people on ski trips. Unless you want to end up with just friends. You still need to have the ability to do business. You need to be able to help each other. You need to be able to help each other make money and grow. Otherwise, it's not business relationships. It's just purely having fun.
Yeah, no, totally agree. It's the thing that I think a lot of people, when they're out networking, they are looking for. There's two extremes, I think. You've either got the people that are solely actively just looking to build relationships, or you've got the people that are just out there to find business. You've almost got like a cheater type mentality where they're just out there just trying to sell all the time. And I think there's a balance, which I think when we first met, there was definitely that. We had that that one event that we went to. It was, business was there. We spoke about business, but we also, like I say, had a good night at the same time as well. And I think it's just about understanding that balance. You don't have to take
That was the first time we met.
That was the first time we met, wasn't it? The exchange event, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I think, like I say, with it, it's just understanding that balance between it.
But and again, for me, though, that's targeted networking. And I'm conscious how I say things because I don't want to sound arrogant when I say it. But, you know, that was, let's say, a room with 50 people networking. Now, I specifically made a beeline to you because I knew you had a product that, you know, I didn't know we were going to become mates, but I knew that you had a product that was worth me knowing about and we could have probably done some business together, you know, whereas for me, the rest of the room is 50 busy bees chatting shit to each other that are probably never going to do any business, any deals.
So true.
And again, like I said, I don't say it in an arrogant way, but, you know, other than you, I didn't speak to anyone. I went to my room and did my emails and I had my power nap. So I think it's about, because it's situations like that give networking a bad name, because I'll come away and say, oh, I think networking's great because I networked with Chris or I networked with Nick. If I'd come back to Leeds, you know, get home to the missus or whatever, and go, God, don't talk to me tonight because my head's mangled. I've just had to speak to 52 numpties, you know. then I'd have a completely different view of it, you know. Whereas, you know, for me, I love networking because it's a pleasure, because I get to talk to the people I want to do business with, to achieve business, to make money and have fun, whether it's in an amazing situation like this or even just having a chinwag on the phone or a burger back in the UK.
It's about doing it with purpose, isn't it? I think people naturally, or not, maybe not so naturally, but they do it because they should, and they go networking for networking's sake, and they don't actually have a goal there, and it's not targeted, like you've said, specific people or even a specific thing. They just go there, and it happens all the time in property, but they don't really know what they're going for. They don't know if it's money or deals or education. They just go and chat shit to strangers, basically. I think that's a huge tip to at least know why you're going somewhere and follow the people around that are in the space.
Yeah, totally. I think it's a great way to round up, to be fair. We've been doing these like short, sharp episodes recently, haven't we? Decided to do them a little bit more just to try to test basically long form versus short form. And just so you're aware, actually, we've actually seen the short form episodes. We're getting like an extra, I can't remember the exact percentage, like 43% extra listeners every single time. So I think obviously people, we're trying to get that commuter type level, right? Trying to get the people where, although they're not commuting because they're all working from home still, or they're being phased back in. But yeah, I think, it's been good. But no, I just want to say a massive thank you for inviting us out here. It's been a very, very, very exciting and enjoyable time. And, again, thank you for coming on the show again, mate. It's been a pleasure.
No, thanks for having me, guys. It's been a pleasure as always.
Thank you for listening to The Matt Haycock Show. For more Matt, check out his YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/Matt Haycock. Or go stalk him on Instagram and Twitter, The Matt Haycock. And we'll see you soon.